Oh, it is hard to believe. It's been 30 years since the official Preppy Handbook became a surprise bestseller, spending more than a year on the New York Times bestseller list and becoming a real-life guide for aspiring Muffies and Biffs. Now, Lisa Birnbach with designer Chip Kidd has written a sequel, True Prep, It's a Whole New Old World, which advises preppies on how to deal with cell phones and polar fleece and rehab and other perplexing facets of 21st century life. It's published by Knopf, with a K, right?
Yes,
Knopf.
With a K.
Yes, that's Knopf. Preppy, isn't it? Yes. I'm thrilled to welcome Lisa Birnbach to the show today. Great to see you again.
Thank you, Elliot. Same here.
So what is True Prep? What does that really mean?
It means, first of all, it's much faster than the official Preppy Handbook, which I used to get bogged down with. It's a long title. This is a short title.
Oh, I see.
People have shorter, snappier. People have shorter attention spans,
right,
which is one of the problems of the 21st century.
What were we talking about?
I don't remember. But the thing is that the preppy person doesn't change. The preppy person is still the son or daughter of a preppy who has a pronounced lack of imagination, who follows in their parents' footsteps, who allows him or herself to be infantilized by vacationing with parents, going to the same clubs, events, concerts, etc., as mommy and daddy. But the world around us has changed. And even Nostradamus, and I read it in the original Zoroastrian, even the original Nostradamus could not have predicted polar fleas, cell phones, or no smoking indoors. You know, there's a lot for us to deal with.
I want to get into the book and how things have changed because it's been a surprise. But let me just ask you, that first book, how did that change your life?
The first book, the Preppy Handbook I wrote when I was 21, it was a quick book that I had to put together very quickly, and expectations for were low. I didn't know that the world thought anything about preppies outside of the 75 preppies who I thought would buy the book. And also the term preppy was sometimes used as a derisive, like, ugh.
It's one of those things people never claim to be themselves. It was a label for other people, right?
Correct. It's like saying socialite. You know, in the 21st century, we have the problem of reality stars saying, I'm a socialite. And no one who is a socialite would ever say that about herself. And similarly, you didn't call yourself a preppy, but people would know you as one or think of you as one.
And now, has that changed? Do people wear that title with pride now?
With pride. Oh my gosh, yes. But I had to tell people what they were first, because they, especially outside of the Northeast, they look at pictures of people in the book wearing madras, wearing boxy clothes, boyish as old men and elderly as young boys, and that applies to the women as well. And and they would say, where did you find these people in these strange togs? And I'd say, these are my friends and my family, and we're wearing our own clothes. So now everybody wants to be a preppy, and everyone can. The boundaries are breaking down.
So, and you admit this, you're not an outsider in this. This was a world you grew up in.
I grew up in it, but of course I am not a WASP. So I had a kind of outside insider's perspective, which I think was good. I think if I had been truly to the club born, I would not have been able to have really looked at it from an aerial view and say, this is it, and this is the funny part. I think some people would have been offended by it or not been able to see the humor and joy in the La Vie de Prep. But it did change my life because I suddenly had a bestseller that no one expected to be a bestseller. And I suddenly was asked to sign people's chests and books. And I was having to judge people and give them true advice. I can make about 12 decisions a day before my brain fries. And now, Ms. Birnbach, or should we get a lab or golden retriever? You know, I don't know, but I had to do that.
Now you're the expert.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about how things have changed since that time period. You remember you mentioned WASP. I mean, that has some race, but you can be African-American and be a preppy these days.
If you've ever taken the ferry from Woods Hole to Martha's Vineyard, and I don't know if you have, Elliot, but
not
probably
lately.
Too bad. But all of your listeners who have will no doubt say, you know, the guy in the Harvard Law School sweatshirt or the woman with the Lilly Pulitzer shorts, they're the black preppy community that summers at Oak Bluffs and other parts of the vineyard. The Obamas were summering there, of course. They are preppy, I think. I mean,
you have a
say so.
A true prep pantheon.
Pantheon.
Yeah, and they're in it.
Yeah, they're in it. And let me tell you why. A guy who goes to the Punahou School, a private school in Hawaii, even though Hawaii is far away, it's still an American prep school. He went there for 13 years. He went to Occidental College, transferred to Columbia, Harvard Law School. The only thing that really disqualifies him from being preppy, in my opinion, Barack Obama, is that he worked too hard in school. You know, a little slacking off, a little sleeping in might have been a little better.
That's part of the preppy
yes,
part.
Yes.
Let's go through some of the other pantheon of today that you have. Some of them make sense to me. Stephen Colbert, I guess that makes sense to me.
Stephen Colbert attended the preppiest college in America called Hampton Sydney, which is located in Hampton Sydney, Virginia, of course, as you know. And Hampton Sydney is one of the four all-male colleges left in America. Students there call themselves gentlemen and wear suits and ties, or ties and jackets, at least to football games. They do because they like to. And he went there. I mean,
he qualifies.
That's enough.
He's in.
Yeah.
Professor Robert Hodge wrote in our show page and wants to know what you think of Robert Chambers being called the preppy murderer.
Well, in True Prep, I said when he was named, he's included. We have a chapter on scandals and a timeline also that takes us from 1980 till now. And when he was called the preppy murderer, I said, thanks a lot. First of all.
It's the last thing you needed.
The last thing I needed. Now, by the way, there are aspects of that despicable kid that are very preppy. He went to about seven schools. He was thrown out of a lot of schools. He's good looking. And, yeah, that's about it. He also went to Hazelden. And we do talk about rehab as a prep, as the new boarding school. So,
And Anderson Cooper's on your list, too.
Yes.
That makes total sense to me, actually.
Yes, absolutely. He's got poison. He's soigner. And he went to Dalton and Yale.
Your first book was so much fun. Were you actually surprised that people took it so seriously in some cases?
I was totally surprised. I was surprised.
It became a Bible for some people, I guess.
And what's more is I was invited to speak at junior leagues all across the country thinking, this is fun. I'm the only brunette in the room. I mean, it was really the WASP power bastions took a liking to me.
We got June Thomas from Slate, wrote in and said your book saved her life, taught her how to dress, where to buy things. You must
June,
have heard
I'm
that
a giver.
Before.
I'm a giver. Yeah, I've heard that a lot. People did feel that, especially if they moved to the East Coast or to Boston, New York, Atlanta, that I helped them. I gave them a toolbox with which to survive modern life. Now, some things that have happened in modern life that are gross that – you know, I'm sorry, have happened. Like materialism has gotten very vulgar and bad. And I didn't help you with that, if that's your thing.
I'm Elliot Forrest in for Leonard Lopate. Lisa Birnbach is with us. Her new book is called True Prep, following up on her preppy handbook. Let's go through some of the other changes in 30 years. Digital revolution, how are cell phones changed the preppy lifestyle?
Well, we're very sociable people. So we're always making plans with our friends. So it's very hard to resist the lure of the thingy.
The thingy.
Yeah, the thingy.
You
got to
download things.
You got to download things to your thingy. You have to update your thingy. You have to upgrade your thingy. Where did you put your thingy? Would you put it down, please?
During this meal.
Yes, no texting at the table. That is really, that's one of the worst sins you could commit.
I think
days.
That's where you've been most helpful, actually, both in the old
you're
book
welcome.
And this book, is etiquette.
Yes, you're welcome.
Let's edumacate the people and let me know.
Well, you have kids, Elliot.
Yeah, I have two.
Do you let them text the table?
Let them is the key word there.
Right.
Do they? Do I ask them to stop? Do they stop? No. But let them, I guess.
They sneak text?
No. They're just right there doing it. Whether
openly.
Whether I ask
brazen.
Them. I know. They
okay,
don't listen.
We need to. Well, of course, because our children don't respect us. That's a whole other show. But you know, preppies, we are parents, but we don't believe in parenting. And some of us—that's
the problem.
It's not a study for us. It's a casual pastime, like polo. So we have to really even withdraw the thingy during mealtime, so our kids won't get used to it. That's a bad habit. And a lot of us do it. You don't have to be a kid to do it. Adults do it. Sometimes we don't know when to say no. One of the problems also of preppydom in the 21st century and a recession is we're also desperate for work that we think whenever the thingy rings. Ah, opportunity. Right. It may not be opportunity. It may be Skip saying, can I borrow your tennis racket? Or $5,000, whichever you have.
But you have to respond.
Yeah, exactly. So we have to really resist the temptation.
What about gallantry and please and thank you? Has that changed?
It hasn't changed. But it's more valuable now than ever that people are sending texts instead of having conversations. TY is not the same as a heartfelt thank you note. K, just typing the letter K and pressing send, is not the equivalent of a meaningful conversation. And I'm hoping that Preppies will restore the art of conversation, the art of eye-to-eye conversation, which you and I are having right now. It's so much more meaningful and thrilling and personal and provocative.
Well, but here's a great example. You and I have communicated more through instant messaging and Facebook over the last year.
And sexting. Oh, I wasn't supposed to mention that.
Please keep that between us.
Okay.
Then face-to-face.
Yes.
And so is there a preppy version of Facebook and email
better? We all do it. We all do it. But I have to say, when you and I email each other, they're actually full sentences.
Right. And I try to get the spelling right.
Except when you do LOL. And we do not care for LOL.
Right.
You know,
out.
We like our own abbreviations. We don't like the other abbreviations. But honestly, Facebook is a way that you can find out that your roommate from Dartmouth had another child named Poseidon or Cricket. It's another way to stay in touch with your class. It's another way to boast about your achievements. Google, email, all of it is great, but don't let that sacrifice actual correspondence, actual meetings, actual face-to-face drinks.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the subjects that were actually not even open to talk about. 30 years ago when the Preppy Handbook came out, I'm not sure how much you talked on remarriage, mm-hmm. on gay culture, rehab, mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
All new?
It's in the book, the new one?
Yes, it's all here. Yes, certainly homosexuals have always been preppy. Some preppy men are borderline. You can't tell because they might like to decorate. They might like to do the flowers. They might like to cook.
So they could be preppy and straight and sort of mess up your gaydar.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, as an expert preppy, I sometimes really can't tell the difference. And I sometimes have to ask someone, is your husband gay? Because I would never do that. But, you know, there's some you just can't tell. Also, with all the pastel colors, I know that it does help confuse things. But preppy men and women are amongst us always. We coined the term presbian for prep lesbian. Some say prep lesbian is redundant because so many preppy women at least have affects like lesbians. We know how to drive. We know how to play tennis. We know how to maybe change a tire. Not me, of course, but so they're presbians. We have a map of gay America, represented, of course, by David Hyde Pierce, except Northampton, Massachusetts, the presbian capital, represented by the late lamented Nancy Culp. Edmund White, the great writer, wrote an essay about preppy America, preppy gay America. And really, we take you through the entire United States and where gay people will be more comfortable. We also have divorce and remarriage as a fact of life. The family, mommy and daddy may still be married, or you may have never known your parents married to one another, but you've seen an old picture of them stuck in the back of a linen closet. And, you know, daddy's special friend, and mommy may have a new boyfriend who might leave his clothes in your house. You don't like it very much. Or you may just be used to rotating parents and step-parents. That's very common.
Elliot Forrest in for Leonard Lope today. I'm with Lisa Birnbach. The new book is called True Prep. I see that you did this with Chip Kidd, and I'm only guessing because he's a designer, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, he's a
The book is great fun. There's a lot of pictures. There's a lot of graphs.
Quizzes.
What was his involvement in the collaboration?
Well, he really persuaded me to do this book. Over the last number of years, many people have wanted a sequel to the Preppy Handbook or a new Preppy Handbook or some variation on it. And I was disinclined to do it, to tell you the truth. I thought the book was quite complete, purported that nothing had ever changed in our lives since 1635 when the Boston Latin School was founded. And then, so why mess with it? But because of the changes that have happened around us, here we are. And Chip was the one who persuaded me. I met him on Facebook, which is very modern. I was the horrified to say I was the aggressor. I tapped him. I didn't know about Facebook etiquette. I felt very uncomfortable tapping a stranger and saying, is he a friend? No, he's not a friend. I've never met him. I thought he wouldn't accept my friendship, but he did. And he said, let's do it. And here we are.
Well, it's great fun. You have so many rules, and it's good to have a few rules, you know, and to guide life.
Rules and embarrassment are what keep us going, Elliot. Without them, it would be anarchy.
Let's go through a few of them. Maybe you can comment. Always own a blue blazer.
Yeah, it helps everybody. It's the perfect cover up for your sins, for your clothes, for your stains. I love it.
Do not display wit through T-shirt slogans.
Oh. I mean, how many dirty T-shirts have you seen today on the street? Anything that has that talks about drinking, beer, wit, you know, partying, schools, sex. Ugh. Not us.
You indicate that we should know how to tie a bow tie. I've tried and I've accomplished it, but then I fail and then I go back. No clip-on?
No. The struggle is part of the, you know, it's a journey, Elliot. And you notice that when you said, I've tried, you almost went into a little lockjaw that almost, I'm almost crying. I'm touched that you did that.
I don't know whether I feel, you know, growing up Jewish in Texas sort of takes me out of the.
Takes out the Texas, though. They cancel each other out.
Right.
So
I could be.
Yes.
Well, I always wondered about metrosexual and how that fit in. Can you be one and not the other? I mean, I use moisturizer.
You do?
Yeah.
But
sunscreen.
You have a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you.
You know your classical music. You live in a leafy suburb.
I do what I can.
And you're hilarious. So if you want to be, you can be. I would never bar you from entering the club.
I noticed there was a theme to all your book signings. They seemed to be very upscale. Was that on purpose?
Yes, I think so. but there's a big misunderstanding about money and preps. We can be very cheap.
Oh, really?
And cheapness is something you can take with it. Where if you live in Texas, you live in California, New York, it's portable. And
I always thought highly generous. They're the one preppies. I want to get them on the board. I want to go for donations.
No, you do. You do. But they may reuse a manila envelope three times.
They may reuse
that they're always passing sweaters back and forth and silver and so on. We reuse, we re-gift, we can be incredibly cheap. I know of a woman who's very, very affluent. I hate all those words, affluent, rich, wealthy. They're all ugly words. But anyway, she is now looking for husband number three or quattro. I'm not sure which, and we like to throw in foreign phrases. But she is looking for a man who shares her last initial because her last set of silver is so beautiful. That's a true story.
Change it out.
Yeah, exactly. That shows you that we're frugal. And that's why preppy is good for a recession.
I have some different notes here in different places, so I want to make sure and get it all. You'll be at Bloomingdale's this Friday at 6 and at Brooks Brothers on the 14th.
I'll be at Brooks Brothers probably every day.
Every
I was
day.
Just there.
But you'll be signing some books there as well.
Yes.
And let's see, October 13th at the Strand Bookstore.
Yes, a panel on Preptum, very important.
And November 19th at Borders as well. And we're going to put all of this on our show page so people can go to WNYC.org to find all this information.
That's damn great of you, Elle.
You're quite welcome. It is so great to see you again.
Great to see you.
I hope it's not so long next time. Lisa Birnbach, her book is called True Prep. It's a whole new old world. The author of the official Preppy Handbook. We remember that from 30 years ago. She's done this with Chip Kidd. Great to see you.
Great to see you. Thank you.